You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked on Angels. Today, the resident social cynic is here to welcome you to your daily Angels update here on Locked on Angels, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Let's get it going. We're back on a beautiful Friday afternoon from Anaheim, California. Let's get it ready to go into this weekend. Let's start. You know, I'm not going to talk about the play on the field today. You know, we lost to the Mariners last night. It was kind of an ugly one. Let's not talk about it, though. Let's start with pretty much the only thing that's on Angels fans' minds right now, and the only thing we could really get excited about for the rest of the season, and that is Mike Trout contract extension talk. Okay? That's the big thing on everybody's mind. So, there's a couple things I want to talk about here. I want to start out with a clip from MLB Network that you might have seen. Our friend of the program, Jared Timms, retweeted it, put his ideas out there on Twitter, and it was from Mark DeRosa, his idea of what the Angels should do moving forward with like Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Basically, if you haven't seen the video, go watch it. It's absurd. But he said, sign Trout long-term, and since Ohtani is shut down next year, you should shut down Trout also to save tread on the tires, essentially go all in on 2020. What the hell is this guy thinking? Baseball doesn't work that way, first of all. And if you want to have any sort of success as a franchise, you can't just shut down your franchise player, right? And we talked a little bit with Jared Timms about the Angels' economics as a franchise. If you tell the public, hey, we're shutting down Trout for the year and he's only going to get like 200 at-bats, you are going to sell negative tickets to the ballpark. That just doesn't make sense at all. Why would you do that? So, Mark DeRosa, like, come on, dude. Use your brain, man. But let's talk about more realistic things here. The Angels are reportedly supposed to offer Mike Trout a lifetime contract this winter. Wow. Let's see what we get. But I have some ideas. We've been hearing a lot about this lifetime contract extension lately, especially over this last week, maybe 2 weeks. So I want to dive into this contract talk and what we could potentially be looking at here. And me, with my creative mind, I came up with three very interesting options on what we could do with Mike Trout. So here we go. Option number one, essentially your classic baseball contract deal. Essentially, 10 to 12 years worth about $400 million, at least. So we could go north of that also. I think this would be the easy one. It's the traditional one, like I said. It makes sense for Trout to sign if he wants to stay in Anaheim, I might add, if. But pretty much your prototypical run-of-the-mill baseball contract, right? 10 years, X amount of money, bada bing, bada boom, put pen to paper, get over it. The only thing that I can see being a little problematic with this is, well, we've signed this contract before, right? With Albert Pujols. Now, granted, I'm not saying Pujols is Trout, or Trout is Pujols, but I'm also willing to bet that Trout in his late 30s won't be the same Trout from his late 20s, right? And if we're giving him upwards of $40 million a year when he's 38, I don't know. And he's not producing the way he was. I don't know if that's something we're necessarily going to be excited about, right? I mean, once Pujols had that plantar fasciitis, he couldn't really get around the bases like he once did. I mean, I think that's when I kind of jumped ship on the Pujols train. But ultimately, the contract, right? 10 to 12 years, $400 million. I feel like that's the safe bet. That's the safe baseball. We've seen it in baseball a lot, right? Giancarlo Stanton got that. Bryce Harper is going to get that this offseason. It's the easy thing to do, right? But let's get creative. Let's get a little exotic with our contracts, because I want to remind you guys, Baseball is one of the few sports in America that doesn't have a max limit on their contracts, right? In basketball, you hear all the time, max contract, max contract. In football, there's all sorts of weird, you know, player things that they have. Hockey recently, in the last, I think, 5 years, they switched over so that, because in hockey, they were having just absurd contracts, like 20-year contracts. That, and in a game where you're getting beat to hell every night, like, that just doesn't make sense. Anyway, baseball doesn't have that, right? That's why, tell your kids, play baseball. You can get $300 million. It's pretty great. So, our second option. I think it could be smart to give Mike Trout a contract very similar to the thing that Bobby Bonilla went through with the Mets. Okay? If you will remember, the Bobby Bonilla contract, it's a little different. Essentially, the Bonilla contract was like, Bonilla was the Pujols of the Mets, right? They were paying him money, and they didn't want to pay him anymore. So they said, we'll defer your payments until 2011. This was back in the year 2000. So they said, we'll defer your payments to 2011, but attach an 8% interest to it and pay you yearly out of that. And the payment is like $1.14 million every year until 2038 or something like that. So, obviously, we're not going to defer payments on Mike Trout. Like, we're going to pay him up front, and we're going to pay him yearly. But what about an idea where we say, how about this, Mike? We're going to give you anywhere from $5 to $10 million a year until 2070. Okay? Think about that. Now, he's not going to be making necessarily as much money, but he's getting $5 million a year until he's 2070. Like, at that point, the dude's going to be like 65 years old. Still making $5 million a year. That's pretty great. So, with that being said, Trout's going to be pretty much set for life. He won't have to worry about money for himself, his family, his kids, his grandkids. Heck, maybe even 3 to 4 generation of Trouts after him. So, I think you can make a pretty good living off $5 million a year. But also, this locks him up long term, which is a big focus on these contract talks. But with him being around until like 2070, we could also negotiate something in the deal that asks him to stay on as like a special advisor to the GM, as a coach, some kind of leader within the team. Because if you're paying him until 2070, you can say, hey, let's use him, right? I mean, the dude is the best baseball player of a generation, maybe even ever. So why not use him? Use the brain that he has. I think that wouldn't be a bad idea. Maybe in that time frame we'll need a new coach. Huh. Well, we're already paying him $5 million a year, $8 million a year. Just let him run the team. Let him fill out the lineup card. Not necessarily a bad idea. And we'd lock in our long-term manager, who we might be looking for after this season. Not saying Trout's good. Oh, whoa. That would be crazy. I just thought of this. Sign Trout to 2070 and say, hey, player manager. Whoa. That would be kind of cool. I'm all in on that, actually. That's my new favorite. That'd be sick. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, my third option, and this one could also be pretty big for us, but it's essentially the thing that we just talked about, where we're signing him long-term. But it would be, and if you remember, in like late 2015, LeBron James, he signed a contract with Nike that was pretty groundbreaking. It was a lifetime contract. So there was really no end to it. It's never been done in sports before. What if the Angels did it? So essentially, you pick the price in the ballpark of $5 to $10 million. That makes him the highest paid baseball player ever, depending on how long he lives, which, I mean, he's a pretty healthy guy, so knock on wood, if anything, nothing bad happens to him, you'd figure he'd be around for a while. I mean, you're going to get the same pros as the last one. And also, the thing that's big with these is you're essentially getting the Tom Brady and LeBron James thing, where, like, Tom Brady's never been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, to my knowledge. LeBron James, up until I think 2 years ago, was never the highest paid basketball player in the NBA. Trout wouldn't be the highest paid baseball player on a year-by-year basis, but he would allow the team to not be handcuffed financially and still be able to go out and shop for, like, the quote-unquote high-end free agents. Like, Trout is the best player in baseball. It's not even close. But where the value is going to come from for this team is what we can put around him. So with that extra money, year in and year out, we can go out and buy pitching, buy some bats, anything else that we need to get this guy the World Series championship that he honestly deserves. But if we're handcuffed, you know, year in and year out with $40 million, $50 million to send Trout, at the end of the day, economically, like we've been talking about recently, and we'll probably talk about the economics of the Angels a lot more in the offseason, but if you're giving a guy $50 million a year, like, the money runs out, right? There, I mean, there was talks, if you follow their sports, Khalil Mack with the Raiders. There were reports that the Raiders just couldn't pay him. They didn't have enough liquid capital to just pay Khalil Mack. It's probably false. But at the end of the day, like, we still got to sign this guy's checks. The check still got to cash, right? So if we're paying him $10 million a year forever, those checks will cash. Guaranteed. Worth thinking about, I think. A little crazy, but I think it's worth thinking about. It's fun, right? We're here to have fun. We're here to speculate. The classic contract is probably what we're going to get, though. Anyway, coming up next, we got your Friday mailbag questions. Let's get it. But first, if you want to sponsor our show, where do you go? LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Hit me up. Love to chat with you guys. So coming up next, your Friday mailbag questions. Let's get to these questions on this Friday afternoon. So the first one we got is from Robert Blanton. Don't know if there's any relation to Joe Blanton, that infamous Angels pitcher. But he asks, if we do have to trade Mike Trout, what are some realistic teams he can go to, and what kind of return are we looking at getting? Well, let's start by saying this. If we trade Trout, I hope we're smart enough to trade him to an NL team and not an AL team so that it won't come back to bite us in the butt if we play that team in the playoffs, right? It can only come back to haunt us maybe three times a year in the regular season and potentially in a World Series. I think we can live with that, right? The next thing I'd say is the return we'd get from him surely would be a number of 4 to 6 top 10 prospects from that respective organization. Okay, so these two things being said, who has the most? Well, the Blue Jays have probably the two most exciting prospects in all of baseball in Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, but I don't see us sending him to Toronto. That just doesn't seem like a Mike Trout place to say, right? So I think the other options, Phillies, Braves, Yankees, in terms of deepest return. I already said I think the Yankees are out because we don't send this guy to an AL team, right? That just doesn't make sense. That doesn't help us in any way. So the two teams I'm looking at are the Phillies and the Braves. Both deep with prospects, and the returns could be massive. So Philadelphia. Obviously a place that Trout might want to play, being, you know, a Philly guy himself. So if we're getting a return from them, I'm probably looking at Sixto Sanchez, a pitcher, Adonis Medina. Those are their two top pitchers in their organizations, and they were absolutely phenomenal this year. Also, third baseman Alec Baum. This guy drops absolute tanks. He's been described as he has power that would take the lights off of buildings. That was a quote I saw somebody use on Alec Baum. Unreal. Also, Adam Hasley. Unreal outfielder. So I feel like in this, these four people, though, it's very unique. You're going to get an outfielder, a third baseman, and two pitchers. I think that's a great return, right? But I would also try to throw in, there's a guy, his name is Luis Garcia. He's a 17-year-old shortstop. This was his first year playing professional baseball. And he hit 369 in rookie ball this year. 12 stolen bases. He had 43 games played. Pretty good numbers in that short time span. He's 17, right? Like, he's got a long way to mature. Try to throw him in there. Could be a stud, right? By the time he's ready, we might be done with Andrelton Simmons. Interesting to think about. This is only if he gets traded, though, right? I think, though, the big one, the big spot, Atlanta. Atlanta is just riddled with talent in their organization. People I'm looking at. Number one, William Contreras. When's the last time we had a catcher come up through our organization that we were like, wow, this guy's the future at the catcher position? William Contreras might be that guy. He's a catcher and also brother of all-star catcher Wilson Contreras. And as baseball goes, generally, catcher brothers, I think we've seen it a couple times. You guys ever heard of the Molina family? Yeah, they weren't too bad at the catcher position. Would be great to have him. Also, their number one prospect and third baseman, Austin Riley, would be great. And any combination. They have probably the deepest pitching staff of prospects. I would go any combination of Mike Soroka, Kyle Wright, Ian Anderson, Tuki Toussaint. Deep, deep organization right now. And they've been good recently, which is crazy because these guys really have nowhere to go. So that's why I think that right now for Atlanta, they would be willing to send a lot of these guys for a guy like Mike Trout. But hey, we're not talking trade. We're talking extension. We're going to get that extension done this offseason. And then if that doesn't get done, maybe we'll talk about it next year. But we'll see. We'll see. Our next question comes from AK at Halo AK5. He says, more trade talk here. He says, who do you feel are trade candidates this offseason? And, bonus, any chance the Angels go out and get Bryce Harper? Well, let's quickly answer the Harper question. No. We're not going to go after Bryce Harper. Two reasons for that. One, is there any way we can talk him into being a catcher again? He was a catcher in high school. Because we don't really have room for him, right? Like, I don't see Upton or Calhoun going anywhere. Trout's obviously not going anywhere. He's not going to DH because we got Ohtani. So, can he play third? Can he play second? Can he catch again? If he catches again, whoo, that'd be sick. But I don't see that happening. Number two, we're talking about this offseason. We need to focus on paying Trout, not Bryce Harper. Plus, you want to look at Bryce Harper's numbers? He's not really that good. Take away his MVP season. I think without that season, he's like a career 230 hitter. Like, he's not great. Not great. I think whoever picks him up is paying a little bit too much money for him. But as for our personal trade candidates this offseason, I don't think we're going to move anybody from the major league pieces. I don't think any of those position guys will be going anywhere because I think the general idea surrounding the team is that we're close. We're close to being a legit contender. We're just missing pitching. And I don't think any of the pitching pieces are moving at the MLB level because I don't know if we're really willing to trade like some of these damaged goods for what would we get back, right? Like, what does a Heaney trade look like for us? Like, we lose that, I think, ultimately. What does a Shoemaker trade get us back? Not a lot, right? Like, I don't see, like, teams know what they're going to get out of them, and so they're going to give that back. I don't think it's necessarily worth it right now. Maybe those guys move at the trade deadline next season, but for the offseason, no. The only pieces I could see being moved are guys like, they're our top prospects. Griffin Canning, Matt Tace, maybe Taylor Ward, Luis Rengifo, some kind of package of those guys. I could see those people moving to get a guy like Noah Syndergaard, a guy like Jacob deGrom, maybe even a guy like Marcus Stroman. A legit number one pitcher. That's what I could see us moving some of these pieces for. Because we ultimately have, like, some pretty decent prospects coming up through the pipeline. Might not be bad. And I've said it before on this podcast. Might not be bad to move a guy like Luis Rengifo because he really has nowhere to go. So, interesting to think about. Our last and final question comes from, I'm going to butcher your last name, bud, but Daniel Irquigoa. All I know is his Twitter handle, at tabularasa_89. Sorry, dude, I probably butchered. I might have just misspelled your last name. I don't know. But the question is, do you think that the Angels buying out Pujols is a real possibility? The offense looks way better without him. Yes, the offense does look way better without him. And it's so much more dynamic, right? Like, with Pujols in the lineup, you essentially have that slug in the middle of the order that can't run and is basically a station-to-station guy unless you hit the ball to the wall, right? And that kind of plugs up the offense a little bit. But to answer the question, I don't see it happening this year. And quite frankly, I don't see it happening next year. Because he's got 3 years left on his contract. And the contract was so backloaded. Like, I believe next year we're going to pay him like $26 million. The year after that, it's $27 million. The year after that, it's $28 million. Right? So, there's no way we eat $60 million. There's just no way we do that. But in 2 years, after 2020, I mean, it happens. It's not great. It's not the best choice for us. But I could see us like saying, screw it, we'll eat the $28 million to make our team better. Interesting to think about. But I don't think we're going to do it this season, as hard as it is. I think the way to deal with the Pujols situation is how I've outlined it, is just try to platoon him at first base and let Ohtani take the majority of the DH reps. I don't know. It sucks, the Pujols situation. But I think maybe if we're nice to him, maybe he'll put an Angels logo on his hat when he goes into the Hall of Fame or something like that. I don't know. We'll get a little bit of something out of it. Anyway, those are the questions for this week. Coming up next, we're going to do our special edition Trivia Friday and send you into this weekend. All right, since we switched over to this Monday, Wednesday, Friday thing, we didn't have Trivia Thursday, so we're switching the trivia to Friday. Let's do it. Friday night, of course, is Ducks night at Angel Stadium. So let's mix in a little Anaheim Ducks into the trivia. Personally, I am a season ticket holder with the Ducks. So I love my Ducks just as much as I love my Angels. So if you have any Ducks talk that you want to talk about, shoot it at me on Twitter. You know, love to talk Ducks hockey. I can't wait for hockey season right now. But let's get to your question. So in the history of both teams, there was 1 year where both the Angels and the Ducks made it to their respective conference or league finals. So the Ducks made it to the Western Conference Finals, the Angels to the ALCS in the same year. But that year, they eventually lost in those rounds. Okay, so do you follow the question? The Angels and the Ducks made it to their respective conference or league finals, and they lost in those rounds. What year was it? And for bonus points, who did they lose to? Okay. Interesting to think about. We'll see if you guys get this one. But that's it for today. Enjoy your weekend. The Broncos take on the Raiders on Sunday. Take the Broncos if you're going to bet. Trust me. Take them. Bet me. I can feel it. I love my Broncos this year. But that's all for today. I'm Lucas Sardo. You can find me at LucasSardo13 on Twitter. More importantly, be sure to follow our Twitter page at LockedOnAngels for all the updates regarding the show. And you can go to our website, LockedOnAngels.com. If you have any more questions or comments or concerns and you don't have, Twitter, shoot us an email, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. A couple people have shot us emails. I appreciate that, guys. I appreciate it. But that's all we got for today. Go Halos. Adios.